No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone. Today is the third day of July, and boy, do we have some things happening in the book of 2 Kings in our story, and boy, do we have things happening in the world and in our lives. That's the truth. And as wonderful as it is to be connected all over the globe and to stories that are happening all over the world, sometimes I just think our hearts weren't intended to carry this much load. We got enough that we can handle right here. So I'm going to ask you today, how's your heart? How is your heart? Are you guarding it from the troubles of the world that are not ours to carry, not yours to carry? Are you guarding like a guard that stands at the door that would not allow an intruder to enter into their home? Are you keeping careful watch of your heart? It's essential. It's scriptural. We have to care for our heart. The garden of our being, the soil. We have to condition the soil. I've got this garden I've worked on for a year, and all of a sudden these chickens that I wanted to lay eggs have decided to come and eat, literally eat my tomatoes and my peppers. And now I have to make a fence to keep them out. I have to guard and protect the soil, the garden, so that they do not come and intrude and invade what I have worked so hard for. Are you protecting the garden that is your heart? Today, we are reading 2 Kings chapters 5 through 8, and this week we're reading the New Living Translation, 2 Kings chapter 5. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. "Go and visit the prophet," the king of Aram told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to take the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, carrying as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "Am I God that I can give life and take it away? Why is this man asking me to heal someone with leprosy? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay, he sent this message to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message, "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very different, wouldn't you have done it?" So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts. And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, all right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god Ramon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too. Go in peace, Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him. So Gehazi went off after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he climbed down from his chariot and went to meet him. Is everything all right? Naaman asked. Yes, Gehazi said. But my master has sent me to tell you that 2 young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived. He would like 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothing to give to them. By all means, take twice as much silver, Naaman insisted. He gave him 2 sets of clothing, tied up the money in 2 bags, and sent 2 of his servants to carry the gifts for Gehazi. But when they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. Then he went and hid the gifts inside the house. When he went into his master, Elisha asked him, where have you been, Gehazi? I haven't been anywhere, he replied. But Elisha asked him, don't you realize that I was there in spirit when Naaman stepped down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to receive money and clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and cattle, and male and female servants? Because you have done this, you and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever. When Gehazi left the room, he was covered with leprosy. His skin was white as snow. One day, the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let's go down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he told them, go ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested. I will, he said. So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began cutting down the trees. But as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. Grab it, Elisha said. And the man reached out and grabbed it. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately, Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, the king, one of the officers replied. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back. Elisha is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Sometime later, however, King Ben-Hadad of Aram mustered his entire army and besieged Samaria. As a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do? I have neither food from the threshing floor nor wine from the press to give you." But then the king asked, "What is the matter?" She replied, "This woman said to me, 'Come on, let's eat your son today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, 'Kill your son so we can eat him.' But she has hidden her son." So when the king heard this, he tore his clothes in despair. And as the king walked along the wall, the people could see that he was wearing burlap under his robe next to his skin. "May God strike me and even kill me if I don't separate Elisha's head from his shoulders this very day," the king vowed. Elisha was sitting in his house with the elders of Israel when the king sent a messenger to summon him. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "A murderer has sent a man to cut off my head. When he arrives, shut the door and keep him out. We will soon hear his master's steps following him." While Elisha was still saying this, the messenger arrived, and the king said, "All this misery is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." The officer assisting the king said to the man of God, "That couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." But Elisha replied, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." Now there were 4 men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. "Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us, they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back to the city and told the gatekeepers what had happened. "We went out to the Aramean camp," they said, "and no one was there. The horses and donkeys were tethered, and the tents were all in order, but there wasn't a single person around." And the gatekeepers shouted the news to the people in the palace. The king got out of bed in the middle of the night and told his officers, "I know what has happened. The Arameans know we are starving, so they have left their camp and have hidden in the fields. They are expecting us to leave the city, and then they will take us alive and capture the city." One of his officers replied, "We had better send out scouts to check into this. Let them take 5 of the remaining horses. If something happens to them, it will be no worse than if we stay here and die with the rest of us." So 2 chariots with horses were prepared, and the king sent scouts to see what had happened to the Aramean army. They went all the way to the Jordan River, following a trail of clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their mad rush to escape. The scouts returned and told the king about it. Then the people of Samaria rushed out and plundered the Aramean camp. So it was true that 6 quarts of choice flour were sold that day for 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain were sold for 1 piece of silver, just as the Lord had promised. The king appointed his officer to control the traffic at the gate, but he was knocked down and trampled to death as the people rushed out. So everything happened exactly as the man of God had predicted when the king came to his house. The man of God had said to the king, "By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost 1 piece of silver." The king's officer had replied, "That couldn't happen even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven." And the man of God had said, "You will see it happen with your own eyes, but you won't be able to eat any of it." And so it was, for the people trampled him to death at the gate. Elisha had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, "Take your family and move to some other place, for the Lord has called for a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years. So the woman did as the man of God instructed. She took her family and settled in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. After the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to see the king about getting back her house and land. As she came in, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, "Tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done." And Gehazi was telling the king about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life. At that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. "Look, my lord, the king," Gehazi exclaimed. "Here is the woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life." "Is this true?" the king asked her, and she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything she had lost was restored to her, including the value of any crops that had been harvested during her absence. Elisha went to Damascus, the capital of Aram, where King Ben-Hadad lay sick. When someone told the king that the man of God had come, the king said to Hazael, "Take a gift to the man of God Then tell him to ask the Lord, "Will I recover from this illness?" So Hazael loaded down 40 camels with the finest products of Damascus as a gift for Elisha. He went to him and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, has sent me to ask, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" And Elisha replied, "Go and tell him, 'You will surely recover, but actually the Lord has shown me that he will surely die.'" Elisha stared at Hazael with a fixed gaze until Hazael became uneasy. Then the man of God started weeping. "What's the matter, my lord?" Hazael asked him. Elisha replied, "I know the terrible things you will do to the people of Israel. You will burn their fortified cities, kill their young men with the sword, dash their little children to the ground, and rip open their pregnant women." Hazael responded, "How could a nobody like me ever accomplish such great things?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you are going to be the king of Aram." When Hazael left Elisha and went back, the king asked him, "What did Elisha tell you?" And Hazael replied, "He told me that you will surely recover." But the next day, Hazael took a blanket, soaked it in water, and held it over the king's face until he died. Then Hazael became the next king of Aram. Jehoram, son of King Jehoshaphat of Judah, began to rule over Judah in the fifth year of the reign of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. But Jehoram followed the example of the kings of Israel and was as wicked as King Ahab, for he had married one of Ahab's daughters. So Jehoram did what was evil in the Lord's sight. But the Lord did not want to destroy Judah, for he had promised his servant David that his descendants would continue to rule, shining like a lamp forever. During Jehoram's reign, the Edomites revolted against Judah and crowned their own king. So Jehoram went with all his chariots to attack the town of Zer. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he went out at night and attacked them under the cover of darkness. But Jehoram's army deserted him and fled to their homes. So Edom has been independent from Judah to this day. The town of Libna also revolted about that same time. The rest of the events in Jehoram's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. When Jehoram died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Ahaziah became the next king. Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, began to rule over Judah in the 12th year of the reign of Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri of Israel. Ahaziah followed the evil example of King Ahab's family. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Ahab's family had done, for he was related by marriage to the family of Ahab. Ahaziah joined Joram, son of Ahab, in his war against King Hazael of Aram at Ramoth Gilead. When the Arameans wounded King Joram in the battle, he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds he had received at Ramoth. Because Joram was wounded, King Ahaziah of Judah went to Jezreel to visit him. Let's talk about 2 Kings 5-8 today. We have Elisha, who served along Elijah. He was not going to leave Elijah's side. And he asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. And it seems God granted Elisha what we asked for. And so we're witnessing the miracles that Elisha is performing. And here's something that maybe we could just hold on to in what we've read. The miracles that we witnessed in the stories of yesterday and today, and we especially see this in the story today with Naaman, for the miracle to come into completion, fruition is a, it's a Christian word that we use. For the miracle to come into its full fruition, it required something of the person asking. It required something of the person receiving. And as we see in the story of Naaman today, Naaman had an idea of how he should receive his miracle. And in this story, we have this little girl, the faith of a child. I wish that my master would go see the prophet in Samaria. He'd be healed of his leprosy. Message gets to the king. The king does not know how to heal him. Elisha gets word, and he asks that Naaman be sent to him. So Naaman goes, and Elisha sends a messenger to meet him at the door. Here's something to hold on to. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored. You'll be healed of your leprosy. We hear Naaman's pride, his arrogance. I'm going to say it with a tone. I thought you would at least come out and meet me. Maybe you would wave your hand over my leprosy and I'll be healed. Aren't there more clean rivers than the Jordan River? How about the Damascus? Now, obviously, I have no idea if there was a tone, but in the words, can we hear the arrogance? Can we hear maybe the entitlement? I have to go wash myself in dirty water? Can we relate? Can we relate in any way? Maybe, of course, not the specifics of this story, but are we relating to telling God how he can heal us, how he can come through for us? And why should it require anything of me? I am a child of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't ask. The Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and make our petitions known. But a petition is so much different than demanding and then questioning the methods of God. The point is, this is a relationship. This is a communion, two people required. How many times have we wanted something for nothing? We demand our ways with God. We can get so tunnel visioned. And how we ask and what we ask and how we expect him to come through for us and disregard that it may require something of us. We are part of the process. It requires us in the process more times than not. That doesn't mean that God doesn't instantly do whatever he wants. You hear the stories of people that have stopped addiction immediately. God took the desire away immediately. That's often not the story. It's a process. We try, we fall, we get down, we quit, we get back up, we try again. The same thing can happen again and again and again and again. And when we fall down, that first step up, that first step back, that repentance, I have failed, God. Forgive me. Let me turn back to you where I have turned away. And he is faithful. And he is just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. But as we come to him, it's not our words, it's the condition of the garden of our heart, the soil. What is our motive? What is our intent? Are we willing to submit, to lay down our will, our idea, our expectations, and allow God to be God? It requires us. Can we show up for our own lives? Jesus, we thank you for your word. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us. Lead us into all truth. Help us to protect the garden of our heart. Help us to manage. We got to weed, we've got to pluck, we've got to prune some things that we don't want to. But as we do, and we peel away the old and the dead, and we peel away even the overgrowth to make room for more, we let go of the things that we are wanting to hold on to and allow you to bring what it is that you need to bring into the soil of our hearts. Thank you that you are the source of all life. Lead us into eternal life now, here and now, in this life, not waiting for it to come after, here and now, life everlasting. I pray this all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that's the website, that's the free app. Check it out. Let's talk about the long walk. It's coming up in just a few days, July the 7th. Get out and walk. Be alone with God. Take a drive. Ride a horse. Whatever it is that you long to do, what speaks to your heart, your soul, that you can just make time and be alone with God. Of course, stay hydrated. Don't get overheated. We don't want anyone to get sick in the heat, but get out and be alone with your Creator. He may have some things to say to you. You can do this individually, and you can do this in this beautiful global community. People all over the globe will be walking. We will set up a Facebook page for you, and you can post your pictures, your videos, and what a great way to connect with brothers and sisters all around the globe. And some you'll find maybe in your backyard. I love seeing those connections every year. It's a beautiful thing. So that's coming up in just a few days, July the 7th. Join us on the long walk. If you would like to partner with us here at Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you. We could not do this without you. And we are so grateful that we do not have to. If you are giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the app at the give icon up at the top right hand corner of that app. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, if you'd like to share with the community, you believe God has answered through the prayers of this community, several different ways for you to do that. For chronological, 800-583-2164. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished using the app, hit submit and then take your finger, move that little wheel over to chronological to ensure it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I'll turn the page together tomorrow. I look forward to it. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for 2 prayer requests submitted by daughter of a silversmith. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this couple, O Lord God, that daughter of a silversmith brought to our attention. Lord Jesus, the couple had just bought a house, and they were preparing to move into it when suddenly they found people inside the home that should not have been there, and apparently whatever it is they were doing caused a massive amount of damage with flooding and some other issues worth $100,000 approximately. Lord God, I pray, number one, that you would provide for this need so that this home could be completely repaired. prepared. Two, that those that are responsible are held accountable, O Lord God, in a respectful and loving way. And three, that whatever it is you want this couple to learn, Lord Jesus, that they would learn it directly from you, Lord God, as you have them traversing this circumstance. I pray, Lord God, that the fruits of the Spirit may be completely made known in and through them, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I also pray for the young girl that now is suspected to have been abducted by a man whom the mother thought was trying to help them when they were in the midst of being taken by rip currents in Florida waters. And I know those rip currents are crazy. I live here in Florida and I've seen it firsthand. Lord God, I pray that if this man has taken this young girl, that you would prick his spirit to such a degree that he would have to return her in one piece, in the name of Jesus.
Hey, my Dynamic DABC fam, it's Asia calling from the City of Angels on June 26th, calling for our sister Terry from Toledo. Terry, while listening to your message and your prayer request, I just heard you just so vehemently state how much you hate that story in the Bible and how you hate how, you know, you don't follow God's instructions in your life and your calling or your purpose, I believe, in certain situations and or what you're called to do, I should say. And I just wanted to come alongside you and just, you know, just thinking of that story too, that, you know, essentially thinking that, you know, it's yes, we can get pulled, we can get distracted by other people, but it's actually just us not following the direction that God's giving us. And just that not honoring God enough to follow that direction. And so that's something that I'm struggling with right now in a certain area of my life. So it really resonated when you called in as well and brought this forward. So I want to pray for you in this regard. Heavenly Father, I lift up my sister, Terry from Toledo. Lord God, she feels so convicted, Father, and by this story and by her own issues, following your word, following your direction in her life. And Lord, please help give her just such a clear understanding of this direction and what she's called to do. And let her not turn to the right or the left. Let her stay on that narrow path that leads to life, that the narrow path that is our salvation, that you are working out. And while we are walking it out in fear and trembling, Lord, we ask and pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mrs. Smith in St. Louis. I work with the drug addicted on what's considered the most dangerous mile in the United States. And I'm asking for prayer for Virginia, a young lady that I had the opportunity to minister to yesterday. And she's addicted to fentanyl, but she knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. The enemy just has her mind captured at the moment. She's supposed to go into rehab today, Monday the 30th of June. And the Lord had me to sing a song to her that I didn't realize I knew, but it was, I love you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me. And all my days I was held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And as I began to sing that song, she began to sing it with me. I was totally unaware that she knew it, but we both sat and sang and prayed as she had came in into our ministry, and we got her some fresh clothes and a shower. And she had rubbed the back of her neck raw from the effects of being on the fentanyl. So I ask you all to pray diligently for Virginia. I thank you and I love you all. God bless.